Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know a lot about golf.
Well, we're waiting.
It is time for us. Let the bells ring out, the banners fly. We are here, those weekend golf guys. I'm John Ashton. He is Golf Magazine Top 100 instructor, Jeff Smith. The sun is getting closer, which means it's brighter and warmer, and I have donned some necessary apparel. And if you notice, we'd like to introduce a couple of guests who are the people who are responsible for the necessary apparel. Right here, it is Gary and Dana DeSalvo. They are the creators, the inventors, whatever name you want to give yourself, of opticals. These sunglasses fit in this case. And you're going to say, how can that happen?
Well, here's the funny part about all that.
Yeah?
We're on the radio, John.
Well, this will be YouTube also.
We'll
get this up when we have visual people. We need to take advantage, okay? But just watch what this does, okay? And I don't know if I'm doing this right or not, so I don't know, but pull it apart, fold them up, put them in the case, and there you go. Dana, Gary, either of you done the research? How many times can I fold and unfold these before it won't be done anymore?
If you're doing it that way, the correct way, it's unlimited amount of time.
Yeah, so. I did it right. I figured it out on my own and did it right.
Yeah, you did it perfectly.
I am so impressed with myself at this very point.
As long as you don't fold them in half.
We've done a lot of testing and we felt we were in a good, even when somebody folded it, it's not going to hurt it. And then a couple weeks ago, we were at a show and this really large guy grabs them, tries to bench press them basically. And it's still closed. It still worked, but it's got to be a significant amount of force, I think. You basically got to bend stainless steel.
So you don't have to be gentle with them. The one question I do have is what was the genesis? Why did you think the world needed glasses that you could fold?
Well, first I want to point out that we are not the inventors of it. That it was invented by somebody here in St. Louis, and we purchased the company from him just because we love the product and we thought it was genius. Genius in the fact that the lens technology is superior. We use Carl Zeiss Vision, Sun Lens Division. So we use really good lenses for quality and clarity. They're made in Italy. So we used a well-known manufacturer for the frames in Italy. And then the added bonus is the invention from the gentleman here in St. Louis, the portability, the collapsible part of it.
And I would just add, I think that to Dana's point, I think what attracted us to it at first was this collapsibility. And there are some folding sunglasses out there, but none that are premium. What makes these unique is they're all wraparound sunglasses, so you can get full protection. Mm-hmm. In sports sunglasses, you need that. And you can't really fold those glasses. So something had to be created or invented to be able to get them into a compact state. And that's why it's on that slide rail system to be able to do that. And just like everyone, I mean, when we first saw the brand, we saw the slide rail, we're like, that's amazing. And then what we learned is that we should be marketing these the other way around, though, because these lenses are, they're the best lenses you're going to look at them. Right. They're crystal clear and there's sport specific ones. Golf is our number one product. And to Dana's point, these are truly premium sunglasses that happen to fold up. They're right in your pocket.
I was going to ask you about the lenses next because I took these to play golf last Monday. The contrast, I guess,
Right. Yeah. Was
much better than my brother-in-law who I play with. He has a complete set of sunglasses that match every color shirt he has, but he won't pay more than $6 for them at a convenience store. And he takes them off whenever he has to hit a ball because he can't see. Basically, yeah. I kept these on for the whole round and they work perfectly.
There's so many like bullet points with these glasses in general, but with all of them, they're made out of nylon first and foremost. So most sunglasses are either made out of glass or polycarbonate. And what nylon does, it gives you the clarity of glass, right? But significantly lighter. So you're getting that optical purity, really, which enables you to wear them for a long amount of time, no stress on the eyes. Specifically, you have the golf glasses there, which does happen to be our number one product. And so those were designed specifically for golf for a couple of reasons. Number one is they're non-polarized. So on the golf course, non-polarized is really what you want. Polarization, what it does is it flattens the image that you're seeing. That's how it removes excess glare. What that has a significant impact on is your depth of perception. We don't want to have that kind of impact on the golf course, right?
Exactly.
So that's number one. Number two is we specifically chose purple and violet. And so for the listeners and anybody on YouTube could see, they're purple and violet. And the reason being, it's on the color spectrum there. Green is the one of the most receptive colors to the eye in golf courses, as we know. They're just green is everywhere, right? We just see that color everywhere. And what the purple and violet does, it filters the green out and allows you to see the different shades of green. And where that benefit is on, well, number one, the putting green, the putting surface, right? You'll start to see those little darker patches and lighter patches. The contrast helps out. So then that gives you kind of a read and a beat. If we're not all lucky enough to be playing down in Florida where we can actually see grain or whatever, then you can actually see what direction the grass is actually growing with the contrast of these glasses, which can kind of give us some of the same benefits if we were able to see the grain just by those patches of darker green and lighter green that you might see.
You know, when you see different colors of grasses, if you can get some lens to help you with that, God, you'll putt so much better because so many greens have so many different colors of grass on it. If you've got something that can help distinguish that, that's amazing. I need to see these things.
We noticed that immediately, and that's like we knew we had something special with it, but everybody immediately when they put them on the golf course, they know they're seeing something different, but they don't, to your point, they don't exactly know what. You'll see those different colors, and one of the things we actually did was Dr. Craig Farnsworth, the putt doctor, we engaged him to see what he thought about the glasses, and he's a perfect candidate. He's an eye doctor, but he's also a respected putting coach, and he helped us to develop some content to put on our website to help people as they get these glasses for golf specifically. Here are the colors you're seeing. Here's why you're seeing them. And here's what you do with that information to be able to put better. So it's not just seeing that contrast. You know, sometimes it's pretty obvious where it is, but this will pick up minor differences in elevation based on those colors. So we wanted to try to give people not only here's the glasses, they're going to be great, but here's how you can use them to effectively get the most out of them and your game.
I was able to keep them on while putting. It did show up the contrast in the different colors much better than taking the glasses that I normally wear off to putt. And you're right about the contours and the contrasts being so much better. Are either of you opticians in the optical business beforehand or just saw a good deal and went for it?
I think we're just sunglass enthusiasts. And as we get deeper and deeper into this business that we have, you know, we're learning so much more about the eyewear industry. A lot of people don't realize that when you go to buy a pair of sunglasses, it's important to let the sunglass company know what you're using those sunglasses for. Like normally most people just automatically assume that, oh, I'm going to go buy a pair of sunglasses and polarized sunglasses are the best. So I'm just going to get that. Well, what we're finding is it's not always the best in certain situations, in certain activities that you're doing. So we wanted to make sure that we educated our consumers by explaining why polarization and certain color lenses on the golf course is not beneficial for you on your round.
We just wanted to do something together. And it was like one of those opportunities where this is a world-class product and we have a chance to be a part of it. But what we do is my background's actually in strategy. And so that means I surround myself with people that are those experts. Like we look for people like Dr. Farnsworth and our lens manufacturer Zeiss that are going to help us make sure that we are putting the best product out and we're able to give that information out to people. But to Dana's point, we learn like 10 new things a day. It's unbelievable how much. She gives this great analogy that what she was saying about the lenses and stuff. Like we buy different types of pairs of shoes for different reasons, right? We have boots for this and, you know,
running shoes for a marathon.
We don't think about sunglasses like that. And the reason you're taking them off and on, you're not letting your eyes adjust. You're actually probably putting yourself at a bigger disadvantage when you take them off because now they have to adjust again and you're throwing them back on.
Yeah.
Just knowing what activities you're doing and why, what lenses you might need and whether it's polarized or non-polarized.
Yeah, you have golf shoes, might as well have golf classes, right?
Right.
In addition to that, when you play golf, you have all this equipment that you use to help you with your game. You have different set of clubs for each of the different shots. You have a range finder to help you read distance. Why not have a pair of sunglasses that's going to help you have a relaxed game for your eyes and help you see different subtleties of the course?
They do exactly what you said, Jeff. Once you put them on, you'll notice that.
And the added bonus is they compact and you could put them in the smallest pocket of your golf bag.
Yes, you can.
All right. We keep forgetting to mention that part of it.
Where are they available? Is it only online or do you have them in retail stores or where can somebody go to get them?
No retail stores yet. Right now we're online, opticals.com. We're looking at different options right now, like how to continue the distribution process. I don't think we'll be in big box stores anytime soon, but starting to get out there in pro shops and looking at different opportunities to start to get these glasses. And everyone who touches them falls in love. We want to get them in as many hands as possible.
We're also on Facebook and Instagram too, Popticals. So we have a shop on those social channels as well. Channel is our website, popticals.com.
And it is Popticals, P-O-P-T-I-C-A-L-S, yes. Popticals.com. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guys, it's great. I really appreciate them and they work really, really well. It's not often that I get something that does exactly as it's advertised.
Think about it. Teachers are a great market for y'all because we stand out in the sun watching golf balls fly in the air and then have to look at golfers and back and forth and back and forth up in the sky, down on the ground all day long. So if you've got some glasses that can help me with that, I'm in.
100%.
Yeah.
One question. I know it's going to sound a little bit off the wall, but you mentioned there's an Italian influence in here. I don't notice in the name Popticals that there's no vowel at the end. And I'm thinking, how heavy is this Italian influence anyway?
We got to add it in. We'll add another vowel in.
Yeah, put like an I or something.
Popticals.
You can use our last name as the Italian influence, DeSalvo.
Right. Yeah, right. You could do that, right?
Let's go with that.
You know. And is the tagline something like, I'm about to make you an offer you can't refuse on these sunglasses?
Something like that?
I mean, something, I'm just saying. You got to buy these or else. You know?
We should change it, actually.
Would hate it if something were to happen to your eyes.
Yeah, it would be a shame. Exactly.
It would be a shame. Hey, something would happen.
Any marketing help you need, we're here for you guys.
Yeah,
appreciate your time, Dana, Gary. Great to meet you. And again, thanks for doing this. I mean, these are absolutely great, and I highly recommend if you are a golfer and you want to lose your excuse for putting badly, buy a pair of these. Popticals.com. Good luck, guys. And thanks again for spending time with us here on Those Weekend Golf Guys. You know, as business people, what we know is we are always driven for the search for better. Better products, better profits, better employees. But when it comes to hiring, you know the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. And match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. So ditch the busy work and just head right to Indeed. That's what we should have done when we were looking to replace, temporarily, Intrepid producer Mark. We knew he'd be gone for a year. We were inundated with phone calls, letters, resumes. We didn't have the time. We didn't have the patience. So listen, you need Indeed if you're looking to hire. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/weekend. Just go to Indeed.com/weekend right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this show. Indeed.com/weekend. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And thanks for hanging and coming back, man. We are Those Weekend Golf Guys. I'm John Ashton. He is Jeff Smith, soon to be sporting a brand new pair of Popticals golf sunglasses.
All I want to know out of these is if it saves me a lot of eye strain and helps me find golf balls, this is going to be a godsend for me.
Yeah.
Right? I'm outside in the sun all the time. I'm looking up in the sky. I'm looking down on the ground. I'm looking at the golfers. My eyes have a hard time adjusting.
Mm-hmm.
I got 5 different pair of sunglasses. All of them said they're supposed to be good. You know what? They're not.
Simply put, they're not. And it was easier to spot the golf ball in the middle of the fairway, too.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
On those times when I actually put the ball in the middle of the fairway.
Here's the funny part now. I didn't ask him this. I should ask him this. You know, these crazy people playing with these damn green golf balls. How are we going to spot those now? I think these people playing these green golf balls are just stupid. I just like, you know that these people, these golf ball manufacturers, you know, Callaway and TaylorMade and all these places are playing these green grass colored golf balls. They're just laughing. Like, we're going to sell some golf balls now, boys.
Get them all out there quick before they are all rolled back. Is there anything you know of that's different between the glossy finished balls and the matte finished balls?
I have not heard of any performance differences. I've not seen these studies that people like to do because I'm interested in the performance of my golf ball, and the ones that they make in all those goofy colors aren't the performance balls to begin with.
No,
they're not doing that to Pro Vs. No. They're not doing that to NXT. I mean, they're not doing that to AVXs. They're not doing that to Pro V1Xs. There's
white and orange, period. Live with it.
I mean, it's it, right? They're not doing the gray matted thing, the red matte color thing, the orange matte color thing, the split colored golf balls. They're not doing that mm-hmm. with all the really good golf balls.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I take that back. I think that Srixon, in that multicolored ball they have, I actually think that's one of their higher end balls.
Okay.
I think I stand corrected on that. I think that I can't remember which golf ball that is, but I think that half and half color, the blue and yellow half and the red and orange half or the orange and yellow half or whatever the heck it is,
mm-hmm.
I actually think that's one of their premium golf balls.
Okay.
Yeah. Not to attack anybody's golf balls, but I'm just saying most of these, when they do this, they're not doing it with the premium ball.
But then I haven't noticed Kirkland doing that, so.
Because it's not a premium ball.
Oh, man.
They're a ball for a reason.
People say they're TaylorMade.
Yeah, people say a lot of things. Why don't you go look at the studies? Because if they are TaylorMade ball, everybody's about to stop buying TaylorMade balls.
Yeah. Excuse me, but Costco wants their membership card back.
Yeah. I got news for you. They can have it back. That's it, right? Because literally, if you go to the My Golf Spy, you know, because that's like the independent testers now that everybody trusts because they pull no punches.
Yeah.
No.
Except no advertising and don't take any payola or any of that stuff.
No, none of that. They're just mm-hmm. saying, here's what it is, folks. Go look at their study on that. And if you go out and buy Kirkland golf balls after that, I just know you're only interested because they're $1 a ball.
And there's another thing that you don't even have to go to My Golf Spy to figure out is that I've played golf twice this year. And each time I have spent a few moments in the woods looking for one of my balls. On both occasions, I never found my ball, but I found an average of 4 others. All of them were Kirklands. So I left them there. I think that just speaks volumes, man.
I think it does. It speaks volumes about the golfer and or the golf ball or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to have a conversation about that.
Okay, maybe they don't fly straight. Who knows? It's not me. It's the ball. Played with another one of those guys, too, the other day who was like Mr. Excuse for every bad shot. Oh, I picked up. Oh, I'm not bringing my right shoulder through. Oh, I did this. Oh, I did that.
I love these guys, right? They reach back. You know, I do this little thing in my golf lessons, you know, and they always reaching back here between the back pockets, so to speak, pulling out that same old excuse. It doesn't matter whether they reach back there with their left hand or their right hand.
Yeah.
They're pulling out the same thing. It looks the same. It sounds the same. It smells the same. It's the same lousy excuse.
Yeah.
Something along the lines of, I didn't do this well enough, or I didn't do that, or I did do that. I'm like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't because you didn't hit the ground because you just pulled up your arms? No, no, I had to stand up on it. I heard so much. Look, I hear this every day in golf lessons all the time. And I think a lot of the times that golfers continue to be bad is because they continue to be this excuse factory right back between their cheeks, that they keep reaching back and pulling out that excuse instead of actually thinking about what didn't happen or what did happen.
Right.
They just immediately pull out something that says that's what they did, as if they're so damn sure. And you know what? I stopped the video recording of the golf lesson because I record all my lessons. I give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped the recording and I show it to them. I'm like, really? Are you sure you did that? Yes, I am. Okay. And then I show them the video.
Yeah, show me at which point you did that.
So let's point that out. It's usually the, oh, I stood up, or, oh, I didn't stay down. It's in that family of stupid things that I always hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I show it to him, and I look at him, and I go, are you done now? I'm like, what? Are you done deciding that you think you know exactly what's going on and never fix the problem? How long has this gone on in your golf career? And they look at me like, oh my God, he's called me out. And the answer is, yes, I have, folks, and I'm about to do it in a big, hard way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to punch you right in the brain, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. What you're not doing is sending the club to the bottom of the golf ball with your hands and arms. I had this in today. So I had a guy that says, I'm not staying down, but I topped it, or I thinned it, or I did something. I'm like, okay. He says, I must have come up. You sure? So I showed him the video and he didn't come up. What he didn't do was extend his arms all the way to the ground or all the way down. So his club could never get to the ground.
Okay.
So I did this and I grabbed his club out of his hand and say, I want you to think for a minute of what I'm about to do. And so what I do is I get in a stance and I look at him dead in the eyes and I make my backswing. And then I stand up as fast and hard as I can in the beginning of my downswing. And I raise up my posture and I pop up out of the shot, as people like to say. You came up out of your posture, you early extended or whatever, right? And yet I'm looking at him the whole time, staring him in dead in the face when I'm doing this, and my club still hits the ground. And I said, did I come up or did I stay down on it? And they said, well, you just came up. And I said, well, then how did my club hit the ground? And then I stare him down in the eye, and then I don't come out of my posture, and I make a swing, and I'm never coming up out of the posture at all. And then my club doesn't hit the ground because I didn't send the club down with my arms. I bent them. Mm-hmm. I pulled them up, alligator arms, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the club just whiffs and doesn't make a sound. There's no thud. There's no skim. There's no nothing. And I said, but I stayed down on that one. How did my club not get to the ground now? And they look at me like, now you're just being an ass.
Yeah, what a wise ass punk.
I said, but no, here's my point is that you're not realizing what it truly is that the hands and arms are not doing their job of sending the club all the way to the ground.
Yeah.
Yet they have to.
Yeah.
So the squeezing and pulling on the club is not allowing your arms to fully extend, get the club all the way to the ground and touch the ground with it. Well, I just don't want to hit it fat. Okay. Then turn your chest forward.
Yeah.
Right? Because that will help move it forward. And they look at me like, okay. So I stick a tee in the ground. And I just say, I pull Whitey out of the way, you know, and I just say, I'll give you 5 swings to get that tee out of the ground. I'll bet you $100 you can't do it. And oddly enough, on the very first swing, they get the tee out of the ground. I said, how do you think you did that? And they're like, well, I intended to hit the ground. I'm like, I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you did it. You intended to hit the ground. You told yourself that you were going to hit the ground. Come hell or high water, you're after my $100. So you were going to hit the ground and you got that tee right out of the ground. I said, why aren't you thinking that the whole time in golf? And next thing you know, they're like, holy crap. So I put a ball, I put another tee on the ground, I shove it almost all the way in the ground, I put a ball on top of it, and I say, okay, now go get the tee. And lo and behold, they go get the tee, and the ball shoots off and has great high soaring flight, and they look at me like, oh, that's too easy. I'm like,
Why didn't someone explain it like that before?
Yeah, because other teachers are not willing to punch somebody right in the brain like I am.
We're going to take a quick break and see if Jeff actually pays off those bets when we come back. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. Hang on with us. Well, of course, we have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/golfguys. Go there and follow us. Like us, please.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are back, those Weekend Golf Guys. I'm Sean Ashton. He is Mr. Welcher, Jeff Smith.
Mr. Welcher.
Yeah. He's made a few bets with me that never paid off either. But that was because I wasn't going to pay him. But that's a different story altogether.
I usually bet other people's money. Yeah. Right?
That's it. That's always spend other people's money. That's the secret to success, man.
I have a good time. You know, like here's an example. Like when I get some kid that comes in and their parents are there, and I look at the kid and I kind of grin at him, and I look back at dad sitting over there, and I look at the kid, I said, all right, here's the deal. I'm going to bet you $5 of his money right now that you're going to smash the bottom of this golf ball and make this thing go up in the air. And the kid's eyes light up, and dad's looking at me like, are you kidding me? Like $5. You ready? Dad's looking at me. I'm like, start digging, dad. Get that hand in the pocket. Right. And he's chuckling because he knows what's about to happen. So like, I just got some motivation for that kid. That kid's licking his chops going, I'm going to Dairy Queen. Right? I've done that a bunch. Betting other people's money is really fun, especially when they're standing right there.
Yeah, this one, definitely.
I have a real good time with that.
You know, we're talking excuses last segment, and another guy we played with, last week here in town, kept hitting him really short. And he kept telling us that his problem was that he doesn't turn. He doesn't have a full turn, and he's not using his legs. Therefore it's just arms and he's not going anywhere. Then I showed him a video of my good friend, Freddie Couples.
Yeah.
Who doesn't turn much either, but still hits it a ton. You know,
it's unreal. You know, you see these guys and they hit it and you're like, how'd that work? They managed to speed up the club, right? Using different body parts. Many of them use all body parts and then the thing goes really fast.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I was also talking to a former Major League Baseball pitcher who now plays golf a lot. And we were talking about making adjustments in mid swing or mid motion. And he agreed that I said, listen, golf is just like, I would imagine you're pitching from the top of your windup to your release. It's less than a third of a second. You don't have time to think about what you're doing, do you? And he said, oh, hell no. He said, if you don't know what you're doing before you even start the windup, you're sunk.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with a golf shot, man.
It is. It doesn't take long at all.
Oh.
Right? I mean, I got all these guys and gals that I'm teaching. And, you know, one of the pieces of conversation that I have them all the time is about how much time it takes to make a golf swing.
Yeah.
And they all think it's like, oh, yeah, it's like 3 seconds. Like, really? Three? And I got news for you.
Yeah.
So I record the golf swing, and I pull up my little drawing app that shows things. And one of them's got a digital timer on it. Okay. And all of a sudden, here I am pointing out the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It's about three quarters of a second going up.
Yeah.
And it's about a third of a second going down.
Yeah.
some of the faster players is like a quarter. I'm like, guess what? You think that you have time to do a bunch of stuff in your golf swing. This evidence says you do not.
Right.
So let's stop thinking about all this mumbo jumbo that you think can go on in this golf swing. But all these other people are telling me to do this, that, and the other thing. I was like, and how has that treated you so far?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be better for all you recreational players out there to understand it would be better to start in a better position and push the green button and just make sure it hits the bottom of the golf ball?
Yeah.
And stop worrying about all that stuff in between.
Yeah.
I don't know. My takeaway, this guy says it needs to be out here. And the other guy says, no, it needs to be in here. And the other guy says, no, it needs to be halfway between too. How do I know what to do? That's what I hear all the time.
Yeah. It's like, I saw a video today that showed you what position the head of your golf club should be in on the downswing. How are you going to check that?
For what kind of, right?
Well, it made no delineation between anybody. It just said, this is where the club should be on the downswing. You know, when you get parallel to the ground, the head should be in this position. Okay. Oh. I'm looking at the ball. I'm not looking at the club head. And even if I was, I couldn't see the club head because it's moving too damn fast.
Yeah, it is moving too damn fast, right? Yeah. But here's the other thing, right? So what you've just learned about whoever posted that, they have a pretty well-defined opinion, don't they?
Yeah.
It's got to be this. This is what I think. It's got to be there.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Thanks for telling the world what you think of only one thing. Because you could look on television throughout history and all these great, wonderful players that are out there hitting the ball terrific and winning all kinds of money on the tours. And there's so many different ways for that to be true.
Yes.
So that means that whoever posted that video has only looked at just like one of them and decided that's my guy. And I'm basing my entire thought base around one person.
One. Yes.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Open up the mind a little bit and say, okay, guess what? That guy over there that does it differently, he's still a tour pro.
Yeah.
Still.
And still winning.
And it's not anything about what you're espousing. So how does that work in your mind? You know, Mr. Opinionated, it's got to be this way. How does that work in your mind when someone does it differently and still performs at a very high level? Oh, yeah, by the way, and they repeat it.
Well, that's the secret. Because
they're true pros.
But the thing of it is when you start telling people where something should be at a particular point in the swing, it's impossible to check. Because like we said, the swing is too fast to be able to even see where the head is. You're not supposed to be looking at the head of the club while you swing anyhow. You're supposed to be looking at the ball, you know, where you're aiming, where you want that club to hit. You know, your eyes kind of dictate where that contact is going to be made.
Yeah, it's, you know, you got to just understand what we're doing here. We're taking a stick and smashing into a golf ball and making the golf ball go where we want to. Mm-hmm. On a regular basis, so we darn well better be under control of the face of the club throughout the golf swing. And we got to think about it going, we just need to set it up better so that when we push the green button, we get what we want.
Yeah. It's all those adjustments need to be made pre-swing.
Yeah.
During swing. Yeah. And it may take some practice, some getting used to.
Well, look, there's a lot of swing gurus out there, and there's a lot of swing people out there that are just, they're so enamored with the movements that's where their head lives. That's where they live. That's where they exist from. Those are the glasses that they have on, that they see the golf world from those glasses. Mm-hmm. And they can't take them off.
And they're not popticals.
No, they're not popticals, because those would provide a little bit more clarity.
And contrast.
Right. Exactly. But that's, you know, it just, I know a bunch of teachers that have something burned into their heads that they look at every other piece of information that they come across from the viewpoint of this thing that they've bought into. I'm not saying some things aren't worth buying into, but when you're buying into something and it's a limiting sort of a thing, and then you start looking at all the other golf information as though it couldn't work because it's not what you're thinking, then you're down a tough road as a teacher. Very tough road.
I had a friend who took some lessons from a different teacher at a new club he had joined. And that teacher was a stack and tilt guy. Uh-huh. And it was anathema to my friend. He said it ruined his game for the entire year because he couldn't do it. It was so different from what he normally did. And I never understood what stack and tilt was anyhow, but, you know.
It's a system of teaching people how to have their upper body perched a little bit more on the left side, if they're a right-handed golfer, on the front side, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so they, when they pivot, they wind up loading a little bit more onto the front leg. Okay. And having the upper body a bit more on the front leg and things that go along with that.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting scenario.
I've seen a lot of pros set up that way.
Yeah, some do and some do not. And yet they're all touring professionals and you're like, okay, so there's more than one way. So as long as we understand that.
Right.
And don't try to cram anything down anybody's throat except for things that they could actually do and repeat, especially the recreational player. How much time, effort, and energy does a recreational player have to do to, or going to go through to just play?
That's
and
it.
And enjoy.
That's it. We're lucky to get enough time to get one round in a week. You know, don't be bogging me down with other things like practice. We got more. We will be back. Trust us. Hang out. We are those weekend golf guys.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are back for about 10 more minutes, so hang out. It's going to be fun. Guarantee you're going to learn something. You already have learned a lot. We've been talking about a lot of things. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned golf clubs. And if you do use one, how important it would be, because if it starts getting worn, if it starts getting to the point where it's slippery, then what happens is you grip the club harder. It impedes your wrist movements and causes you to hit a lot of high shots to the right. Wouldn't the same be true for grips?
Yeah.
So isn't it sure as important to make sure that your grips are fresh or at least not slippery?
If you have to hold on tighter to the club. Now I'm going to speak of right-handed golfers here because most of us are righties.
Sure.
So those of you standing on the other side of the golf ball, you understand, and I'm going to apologize for nothing in advance.
Okay.
You're already living in that world. Okay. So let's just say the gloves or the grip are slick. Mm-hmm. Then automatically you're going to have to hold on to the club a little bit tighter just so the thing won't come sliding out of your hand. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Well, when you add tension to your hands, especially your lead hand, your left hand for all the right-handed golfers out there, you start to squeeze a little bit. The muscles in the wrists and forearms start to tense up. Now your wrists are not as supple. Now they don't uncock as fast. And then the club doesn't get down to the bottom of the golf ball facing forward and the ball careens off to the right, start right, curve right. Because they're holding on too tight because they had to. Because the grips are slick. So those of you who got slick grips, let me tell you about something. There's a few ways of handling this. And so let's start with the $0 and 0 cents expense way of handling it. Go to your garage. Go get some sandpaper, some relatively rough sandpaper.
Okay.
Put it around your grip, hold it tight, and then grab the head of the club with your other hand and start twisting. Take some sandpaper and rough up that grip.
Okay.
then go get some Formula 409 or some Windex or some Dawn dishwasher detergent and go scrub those grips and get all those oils off out of that rubber. And all of a sudden, your grips are much more tacky.
Cool.
And you will have done some effort and you'll have, let's say, rejuvenated some of those old grips. Mm-hmm. You roughed up the surface and then you got rid of the oils. The next thing you know, you have a better version of your grip.
Cool.
And if that didn't do it, now you start spending some money.
Yeah. Yeah. How much should somebody charge or pay to have a grip changed if they're not into doing it themselves?
A couple of bucks of labor per grip installed.
Okay.
Maybe $250. Right? Yeah. It's inflation, right?
Yeah, but I mean, if somebody knows what they're doing, materials. It's not difficult, is it?
No, it's not. But it's the cost of the materials are getting expensive, right? The paint thinner, mineral spirits that they're using, or the grip solvent that they're using, the price of that's gone sky high.
Okay.
The double sticky grip tape, right? Those are prices that are included in the installation.
Right. Yeah.
Plus the guy's time.
Yeah.
Right. So let's just keep that real, folks. You can't expect somebody to go do you favors and go just stick them on. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that hard to do, but it does cost money for all those expenses. And if you don't have it in your own house, don't be surprised that you're going to have to go pay somebody else who does.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go pay somebody else too. You know me, I'm cheap and looking for a deal, man.
But everybody's that way. But you gotta know, look, if that guy's going to drive to the hardware store and go get himself some mineral spirits and then go get himself some grip tape, a double sticky grip tape, right? And order it on Amazon and get it delivered. And, you know, you wind up with more than what you actually use and got to buy the whole roll. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, you're asking for somebody to basically just do you a favor if they're not even charging you more than $2.
Most golf courses have somebody on site that can do that though, don't they?
They should.
Okay.
They should. Yeah. Every stinking golf course ought to have that.
Because
they don't have that kind of service, you got to scratch your head and go, why don't they have that service?
Yeah. Because I just, you know, I played in a scramble last fall, and in the goodie bag was a complete new set of golf grips.
Yeah, that's nice.
$161 with shipping and taxes, all delivered to me absolutely free.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal.
Yeah. Plus, next Monday, I go get fitted for my new PXG driver.
Ooh, aren't you fancy. So you're going to go hang out with Bob Parsons out in Arizona now? Is that the deal?
Does Danica Patrick hang out with him anymore?
I don't know. Maybe she does.
Maybe. I'll see. I called to make the appointment, and I had to call the PXG guys. And I talked to some dude named Brad, and I said, listen, I have a fitted Maverick driver right now. Is this new driver of yours going to be better? And he said, oh, you can count on it. And I went, well, I'm counting on it.
I am counting on it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Will I be able to hit it 280 with this new driver? Funny, yeah. I can't now. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, man. It's you know, like, again, we've had an entire week of temperatures vacillating between the 70s and the 30s. So it's been kind of hard to make any kind of advanced plans. But when you see a day like it was going to be today, 76 for the high, it's not a tea time to be had anywhere in the Seven County area, man.
You got that right. You know, we've had something similar to that here. You know, we've been bouncing between, say, 75 and 90, right? Something like that.
Yeah. Again,
you know,
no more showing off, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry. Just not really trying to show off. I'm just trying to tell you all about it.
It's almost as bad as having a friend who lives in San Diego. Really?
Hey, John,
it's beautiful perfect here.
Day. Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with you people. You should come out here sometime and enjoy it.
Yeah. But it's going to be absolutely fantastic here. in May. I mean, big time. This between the city of Louisville and the city of Indianapolis, the month of May, we've got the Derby on the first Saturday in May. Then the next weekend, the next weekend, I think it is we've got the PGA Championship.
At Valhalla.
At Valhalla here in Louisville.
Yeah.
And then the next weekend after that is the time trials at Indy. And then the weekend after that is the Indy 500.
It's not a bad deal, is it?
So you want to be in sportsman's paradise or sports fans' paradise.
Yeah.
This is where you need to be. In the great area that we refer to affectionately as Indy-ucky.
Indy-ucky, yeah.
Or Kentuckiana, if you'd rather, which sounds better, but...
I don't know.
I prefer Indy-ucky myself.
I do too, because every time I go just south of the river there, I feel yucky. Just south of Indiana, it feels yucky to me.
All right.
Indy-ucky.
Anyhow, I mean, I know this has been a potpourri, as they used to say on Jeopardy, of many different topics and subjects, but all very important for those of us who are actually planning on playing golf again this year, you know?
Yeah. But come on, you know our show. I mean, it's two guys with ADD talking about golf. We don't know what's going to happen next.
That's right.
I don't have a clue.
and that's another excuse he just pulled out from between his pockets.
That's right. Oh, look, yellow golf ball.
Yellow. Now, yellow is great until this fall. I mean, I like yellow.
Yeah.
Yellow seems to have a great contrast against the green.
Yeah. Then in the fall, it's really not such a good idea.
No, in the fall, when the leaves start falling, it's hang it up. You'll never find them. And again, I'm going to start a concession at any local golf course that'll let me do it with mini leaf blowers included. You know, a lot of golf courses have the sand rakes on the cart.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to see if we can get mini leaf blowers included on the carts. You know, you get the cooler on one side and the leaf blower on the other, on the back fenders. I think it would make perfect sense to me. I think so.
Pretty good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So anything to make it easier to find the balls because, you know, like I said, $4, $5 a ball is
Did that idea come from our Facebook page, the League of Extraordinarily Average Golfers?
It did indeed.
I thought I've seen that before.
It did indeed. You may do well to check that out. The League of League of Extraordinarily Average Golfers. That is it.
Yes.
Also check out the Facebook page, just facebook.com/golfguys and jeffsmithgolfinstruction.com. And you have a question you would like answered, like us to address here on the show, just send it either to jeff@thoseweekendgolfguys.com or john@thoseweekendgolfguys.com. We will address the subject and we'll make you better next time you go out to play some golf.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.